Hey, it is Friday night, and it is time to welcome you inside the Quicken Loans studios at the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Time to get ready to go up close with some of the biggest and best names in sports. We always deliver an impressive lineup, and what better way to kick off the first weekend in the month of November than to provide a recap of the Chicago Cubs, who are champions at long last. They end the curse, and they win the 2016 World Series. We also will take time for some NFL news and notes, and always my go-to guy. We love to catch up with him from ESPN Radio, the great Freddie Coleman. Christmas came early for those Cubbies, didn't it?
It still sounds strange to hear World Series champion Chicago Cubs. I mean, just everything that went into that series, where you have both of those franchises having that long drought, a combined 176 years. And when it was 3-1 in favor of Cleveland, not a lot of people gave a nickel for the Cubs' chances. But I thought if it got to Game 7, I thought the Cubs had the momentum. They started off early. They were able to withhold that charge that you knew Cleveland was going to make. It wasn't the greatest World Series, because I think the 1991 World Series between Minnesota and Atlanta was better. I think the 2003 World Series between the Yankees and Diamondbacks, that was a better series. But in terms of intrigue and storyline, this may have been the best World Series we've ever seen.
Okay, well, it certainly was an epic win. Who do you think deserves the most credit?
That's a really good question. I can't say Joe Maddon, because I think the team bailed him out, because he made a lot of strange decisions a lot of the time, especially when it came to pitching and pitching matchups and leaving guys in too long or taking guys out too early. I'll say this. I think the stars of this series showed up and won the series for the Cubs. I think that had the most influence, because once Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and then Kyle Schwarber coming from that torn ACL and Ben Zobrist, the MVP, once those guys got going in the lineup, you saw what kind of avalanche they could really produce against pitching. And then Dexter Fowler leads off Game 7. He does that with a home run. You had all three catchers last night getting an RBI for the Chicago Cubs. But anytime you have big-time games or big-time series, you need your stars to show up, because when they do, everything else is better. And for the Cubs, especially in Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7, their stars showed up, and Cleveland could not match up.
Just a moment ago, I asked you perhaps who's most responsible for the Cubs' win, who deserves the most credit. What about, you really had to tip your hat to the Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations, Theo Epstein. I mean, first he saved the Red Sox, and now he delivers the curse breaker. What do you think his secret is, Freddie?
I don't know if he's made a deal with the devil, or maybe we've seen at the crossroads, Elissa. I don't know what that is, but whatever plan he had in place, and a big part of his plan was you got to break things down and then build it up again and do it the right way. He did it with Boston in 2004, and then he got this acquisition here. He got David Ortiz there. That was able to work out. Pedro Martinez as well. He did the same thing with the Chicago Cubs. He revamped everything in the farm system. He found out what the pieces were needed to keep, and the pieces he didn't need, he just showed them the door, whether they were minor leaguers or major leaguers. And then you go, you get a John Lester, and then you get a David Ross, who they are going to miss tremendously with the kind of leadership that he brought to the table. And then you bring in a Joe Maddon, and then you trust him that he'll do the right thing with the players after giving him the pieces that he needed to work with. That's the plan with Theo Epstein. He hasn't done anything different than what we've seen from other great organizations that went on great runs. The Dallas Cowboys did it in the 1990s. Jimmy Johnson gets there. He stripped everything. He gets Herschel Walker out of the way. He brings in draft picks. They were able to draft extremely well, and they added a veteran presence along the lines of Ken Norton Jr. and Kelvin Edwards. They did the same thing in Chicago, and that formula will always work. If you tear something down and you have people that can scout talent and do it really, really well, and then you add a piece here and there that's the right piece, you can do a lot of wonderful things like we saw from Chicago this year.
Okay, so what do you think the future holds for the Cubs? Are they set now to build a dynasty?
Well, dynasty is a strong word, because nothing is promised to anybody when it comes to tomorrow. And the reason I say that is a lot of people thought that about the New York Mets in 1986 when they won their world championship, and they only got to one more playoff after that in 1988. They lost in the NL Championship Series to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I will say this. When all of your best players are under 27 and you have them locked in contracts through 2020, you put yourself in a great, great spot that defections are not going to hurt your team, and then free agency is not going to wreck your team, at least for another 3 to 4 years. But they are the best team in baseball. They are the best team in the National League. And by winning that championship, you can't imagine how much that's going to embolden guys like Bryant and Rizzo and Schwarber. And I think they'll learn the lessons from what they learned with David Ross and that leadership. That can only serve them well. I'm not going to say a dynasty because anything can happen in baseball. One minute you're great, and the next minute you're winning 85 games, not making the playoffs. We've seen that happen to teams. But Theo Epstein has that kind of plan in place that the Cubs are not going to go behind a wall anytime soon.
Freddie, I'm just curious. I'm not sure how big of a baseball fan you are, but, I mean, who was your favorite coming into the season in 2016?
Oh, it was Chicago, and I thought going into the season, people said the pressure was going to get to them. And I said I didn't necessarily believe that, mainly because of what happened last year, because many people thought they were going to run through the Mets in the NLCS, and the Mets beat the fool out of them. They swept them and moved them aside. If you're Theo Epstein, that was the best motivation for your team because they clearly saw that, yeah, we were the better team on paper, but then we went into the series and we lost that series. We can't take anything for granted anymore. So I thought that kind of pressure was probably more prevalent against the Cubs than not winning a world championship in 108 years. These players were teenagers when they got to the NLCS back in 2003 and lost to the then Florida Marlins. So they weren't worried about that in terms of that kind of pressure that everybody else in Chicago wanted to put on them. They had the motivation of, man, remember when we were here last year and we got kicked out behind state by the Mets? Let's not let that happen again. I thought that motivation was a crucial factor for the Cubs being the best team in the preseason, being the best team in the regular season, and then being down in every playoff series and not panicking and winning those playoff series.
He's back with us from ESPN Radio, host of the Freddie Coleman Show. You got to listen to him. Freddie Coleman back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I know that you have got to be all smiles. We're going to do a quick pivot here because our Dallas Cowboys, they are 6-1 and first in the NFC East. And I bet this is just how you thought. You're the ultimate prognosticator. I mean, you already said you were counting on the Cubbies, my dear. I know that you thought that the Cowboys would beat right at this point, right?
Not even in the slightest, because nobody saw Dak Prescott coming. I mean, we had an idea in the preseason, Alyssa, because just by the way that he handled himself and the confidence that the team had in him, especially after Tony Romo went down with an injury, I don't think anybody could have predicted that Dak Prescott would be the leader of this football team. And that's not sliding Jason Witten or Sean Lee. Those guys are leaders. They're great leaders for the Cowboys. But he was able to say, hey, trust in me because I trust in you, and we're going to get this done. All of a sudden, the offensive line looks like the offensive line we saw 2 years ago in which DeMarco Murray had a huge season. Ezekiel Elliott, and I told people when he was drafted, he's not only going to help the quarterback, he's going to help the defense because now you're able to run the football and your defense is not playing as many plays. He's been better than advertised. And that defense has done what we saw 2 years ago, where they're creating turnovers and they're getting off the football field. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're not playing 85 to 90 plays every game like we saw last year. But the main guy, the conduit for all of that, has been Dak Prescott, because the defense says, hey, if we make a mistake, so what? Because that guy's going to have our back. Dak Prescott says, if I make a mistake, so what? The defense is going to have my back. And here we are with a team that right now is 2 games clear in the NFC East.
Okay, so whose team is it? Is it Dak Prescott's or is it Tony Romo's?
Right now, you know what it is? It's the Dallas Cowboys team, and here's why I say that. Mm-hmm. Because Dak Prescott was asked that question on Wednesday, and he said, you can say it's my team, you can say it's Sean Lee's team, it's Jason Witten's team, it's Jason Garrett's team, but it's the Dallas Cowboys team. We're going to work together as a team no matter who is out there, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. He made a point to let people know that you can talk about Tony Romo this and Dak Prescott that and who's going to play quarterback when he comes back, but it comes down to how is the team going to play and how are we going to function as a football team. It's not about anything else. People can try to make this a quarterback reality show, but Dak Prescott is not having it because he does not want anything to get in the way of what the team has been able to do. And he was like that in high school. He was like that in college in Mississippi State. So I'm glad that that has not changed for him. I'm sure all the attention is great, all the accolades are great, but he knows none of this is possible for him individually if the Cowboys have not been able to do this collectively and be in first place in the NFC East.
Okay, so Freddie, behind closed doors, do you think Dak Prescott and Tony Romo, they know what the plan is going to be moving forward?
Oh, I don't think so at all, because the Cowboys don't know. Seriously. I mean, Jerry Jones, when he started to waffle a little bit in terms of Tony Romo coming back, that he was going to be the starting quarterback, they don't know what the owner is going to do because this is a Jerry Jones decision. He can solicit input or receive input from so many different sources inside and outside of that organization. But you can trust in this, Alyssa. He's making this decision. Stephen Jones is not making this decision. His son, Jason Garrett, the head coach, is not making this decision. This will be a Jerry Jones decision. And I honestly believe right now he doesn't know what he's going to do, because let's say Tony Romo comes back and the Cowboys are 8-1. Do you really want to risk upsetting that whole thing of putting him in? Or are you looking at the other side thinking, you know what, I owe Tony Romo a lot. I love him as much as a son, even though he's not one of my sons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel if I should disrespect him. But if you're Jerry Jones, he always talks about you got to go with the hot hand. The hot hand right now is Dak Prescott. But there are clearly other factors, other mitigating factors that are going to influence his decision. A decision as what he's going to do, and Tony Romo is 100% healthy.
The conversation continues with ESPN's Freddie Coleman after this quick timeout.